I see. Oh, okay. So we've got a opportunity this afternoon to do a bit more practice. But before we do, I'm just going to give a few minutes to see if there's anything any of you want to ask or say before we start. So don't worry if there's not, that's fine. But just take a minute or two to see if there's any questions.
I've got one.
Who's that?
It's Annie.
Hello, Annie. Yeah,
Hi.
please go ahead.
I think it's around effort. It's not really formulated as a question, but just kind of noticing when you or Bodhi Leela instruct us to stop meditating and relax, how much easier it is then, how much easier the experience is then. And I know that if I just let myself flop and leave my Dharma practice for a few weeks and just let my mind go wherever, I veer towards sort of stasis and it not being very good and losing inspiration. And it just seems like a constant work. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, there's a sort of clue there, isn't there? But I think probably when Bodhi Leela or myself sort of encourage people to relax more, it might, well, with me, it's quite often towards the end of a meditation. It's kind of been trying to do something. The trouble with trying to do something is that it's very hard not to kind of involve your ego in it, you know? But sometimes when you just stop trying, you'll get a kind of improvement in your, it'll become calmer, but you still got the posture, you know, so you're not collapsing. But there is still some kind of structure. I think what we're trying to learn to do in this funny sort of way, trust the posture and the breath. We find that quite hard to do, you know, because does that make any sense, Annie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Annie?
Yes. And
Yeah.
I think there is, for me, there's really, it's really difficult to trust because I've had health issues and it's hard to just trust my breath and my body.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does seem a good
Yeah.
instruction. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously might be exacerbated if you've had health issues. But in a way, it's hard for all of us because we're so used to sort of experiencing our egos in charge in a way, you know. As a part of us that sort of tries to hold on in there. When we're conscious, more or less all the time, we're conscious really. So only when we go to sleep, kind of relaxes a bit. So it's hard for everybody, but of course, yeah, there might be particular reasons. Yeah. I mean, it's not. But I suppose that's the practice in a way. We take the posture as best we can, you know, and yeah, just as far as possible. Well, I mean, I think sometimes it's quite interesting to sort of check in and notice what it is you think you're trying to do and maybe reframe it very slightly where. I mean, I quite often find myself saying to people, all you're trying to do is experience yourself, you know. You're not trying to have any special experience of yourself. You know, you're just trying to experience what's going on. So in that sense of posture, we're just taking a posture that allows that you know, if we were sort of rushing around and doing lots of things with our body, there's a lot going on already. So, we're not going to be aware of a more kind of subtle experience that we're having. And the breath just sort of anchors us into the body. But everybody's constantly, in a way, working with this. What is a kind of paradox of effort, really? There's a sort of paradox involved in effort. You know, so of course, we do have to have an intention in a way, or we wouldn't sit in the first place. So we've all got some intention about it. When we meditate, the less sort of willful we can be, the better it's likely to be. But you could say the whole art of meditation is really this dilemma that you bring up, you know. This learning to work energetically. Yeah. Well, I'll stop rambling on, but I hope that's somewhat helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
Hi, it's Joy. Sorry, I'm lying down because my shoulder's a bit sore. I'm really enjoying the retreat a lot. And I feel that my question's maybe a bit arbitrary, but I love your shawl. and I actually, I love your shawl. I wanted to ask about it and also about when you played the drum. And yeah. The singing, I just loved it. It really helped me to rest a lot. And so that's what I wanted to ask you. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, thank you. Okay, lovely. Let's we'll do some sitting then. So get yourselves comfortable. I might say more about this tomorrow, but just before we started, I found myself for some reason just thinking very generally about meditation, really. And traditionally, probably many of you know, meditation is divided into two kind of broad categories. One called samatha, which usually gets translated as calming, or stability, and the other one called vipassana, which usually gets translated as insight, inquiry. These categories are both useful and slightly misleading in a sense. Samatha really always needs to be present for it to be called a meditation. I mean, obviously, you can think about profound things whenever you want. But to be a sort of meditative practice, it must be carried out on the basis of calm. In this sense, calm means equanimity, really, ideally, where you're not involved in craving or aversion. But the calmness is largely achieved through taking the posture and just working very simply with the breath. So in time, that will bring us into this state that's described as samatha, this calm, stable state. So the stability of the posture reflects the stability of mind. You know? And certainly in some traditions, particularly Chan and Zen traditions, they believe that the easiest way to achieve stability of mind is through working with the posture. And basically, the mind, in this sense, the mind follows the body. So when the body is put in an aligned, relaxed position, the mind will, in time, it might take a while, but it will calm down. And on the basis of that, then you might practice Vipassana meditation, which is more directly insight meditation. But actually, the Zen tradition, the Chan and Zen tradition, they first said, well, actually, that's not really necessary because this will simply be revealed to you if you like. You don't really have to do anything. So it's a bit like the samatas, the roots and the trunk of the tree, and the vipassana, the insight, the fruits of the tree. So they, in a way, manifest naturally. Don't really have to force it or try and make it happen. Once the tree is properly, providing the tree is properly rooted, got the right conditions, it will flower or fruit or whatever that particular tree needs to do. It's a bit like that with meditation, really. If you root properly and if you create the right conditions, what needs to happen will happen. Your natural fruiting, if you like, your natural unfolding will take place. This is quite a nice way of looking at meditation. It's just the natural maturing of the character who are providing the adequate conditions for that. So that sort of takes the pressure off meditation, really. The difficult bit would take care of itself. You're just taking care of attending to the So let's imagine the earth under you're all in a room, but even if you're sitting in a building, the earth is still under the foundations of that building, so it's not a huge stretch of imagination to have a sense of the earth supporting the building and that earth going down deeply below you, spreading out into the townscape or landscape or wherever you happen to be. Find the breath right from the beginning. So the breath just becomes a companion when we meditate. It's not an extra after a while. It should just be there in a very easy, unforced way. And this just comes with a little practice, really. There's always quite a lot of sensation accompanying breathing, but it's not really so difficult to be aware of your breathing. Diaphragm moving gently out and down, up and in, the lungs filling, and all the associated sensations, skeleton, moving ribcage. Just whatever's there for you as you breathe in and out, this is the breath for you, whatever's available to your awareness, associated with the breath, it can be anywhere in the body. You don't have to take the breath too literally, and it's not separate from the body. Breathing, and as we breathe, let's have the thought. It's quite a playfully. Just have a thought of releasing in the legs as if they want to root down into the breath. If we're allowing them to have a deeper contact with the ground. We're using it, this image, a playful imagination to encourage that feeling. Feel more strongly supported, rooted. Perhaps particularly on the out-breath, with the sense of letting go in the hips and releasing the legs as fully as possible. I like to imagine my pelvis just slightly kind of opening, kind of drop and slightly kind of open. A bit more room down there in the hip. Feel the contact between the pelvic floor and whatever you're sitting on. Sometimes we can feel quite an enjoyable, kind of delicate movement. What we sometimes call the pelvic diaphragm around the root there. As we breathe in and out. And we've got this spine of ours, and we're curving up for our body, kind of trunk of us. And there's also a little bit of movement in the spine as we breathe in and out. So you can tune into that, that can be quite enjoyable, give you a different sense of yourself. The other end, let's just imagine the crown of our head having an affinity with the sky above us. First of all, maybe notice there's a sense of space between the crown of your head and the ceiling of wherever you're sitting. And then and imaginatively bring in the sky above the ceiling, above the building. To try and let the earth activate the root and playfully try and let the sky activate the crown. You can feel how your body breathes between these two lower points of the root, this upper point of the crown. This breathing body of yours. Your face relaxed. If you make sure you're not holding the jaw unnecessarily. Or just again, in quite a casual way, more like following the breath, not in some grasping way, but just quite a gentle, tender following of our breath, our body. Softly kind of undulating as we breathe, it's more like a little wave formation going through the body as we breathe. Going down on the in-breath and up from below on the out-breath. And have a sense of the body loosening, so even though we're trying to hold a nice aligned posture, it needs to be quite pliable. It's quite pliable, we're not holding the body stiff. We're releasing the body into the breath and even into the space around it. Releasing downward. Upwards, but also 360 degrees, just into the space around your body. So you feel that you're taking up all the space that you need. You're not compressed. Your body's got plenty of space for breathing. Just sitting with your natural breath. Have a bell in about 20 minutes. just being aware of whatever it is that is happening. So if you're fantasizing about something, being aware of that. If you're worrying, being aware of that. We're just simply aware of what is happening. Awareness means we're slightly less caught up in it. Maybe slightly ironically, we've got a sense of ourselves being aware. Relax, keep the posture, see if you can just next few out breaths, really let go of any residual holding going on in the body. Just sit for a minute or so, making no effort whatsoever. Easier said than done. Letting go, relaxing, earth under you, the world around you, sky above you, in your room, just sitting in presence, our body breathing. maybe just having a sense of everybody, other people you've been sitting with, sense of yourself, the fact that you've come to the end of the meditation, feeling like it's quite nice sometimes after meditation just to stay sitting for a while, your eyes open, and just rather than just immediately jumping up and going back to your normal kind of pace of life, just give a little rest, as it were, between the two. These different states can start to sort of blend into each other a bit more. Not such a difference between sitting, meditating, and doing anything else. And we do have a few minutes, so if there's anybody that wants to ask or say anything, then please feel free. Not we just sit partly for a couple of minutes, and then I'll bring the session to an end for those 5 minutes or so. Okay, so we'll leave it there. I'll just check in with Bodhi Leela. I'm sure there's nothing she wants to say, or there's no.
Well, the only thing I want to say is thank you.
Okay, that's fine.
And, yeah, that was a lovely session of practice. And yes, so we're back tomorrow for meditation, 8 o'clock, and then 10:30 for talk and practice session led by Paramananda.
We'll call it a chat.
You always say that, and then you give a talk.
This is a chat. A screen side chat. Anyway, yeah, it's
okay.
Good evening.
Bye.